CO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Brian Koberger's agreed to plead guilty in the murders of four University of Idaho students. Benjamin Mogan's daughter was among the victims.
It's going to be nothing nice to go through for the rest of your life, and he'll have to think about that every day, all the terrible things he allegedly did.
Lawmakers in the Senate up for the second night in a row for a marathon voting session on amendments to President Trump's so-called big, beautiful spending bill. Republicans like Majority Leader John Thune arguing in favor of the package.
This, Mr. President, will make this country safer, stronger, and more prosperous.
This bill is going to ruin people's lives.
Connecticut Democrat Chris Murphy arguing against. Thousands of city workers have gone on strike in Philadelphia. Trash collectors, street repair crews, police dispatchers, and others all demanding more higher pay than the city's proposed. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the deadline for Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a new two-year state budget. If they don't, current spending levels remain, but that creates complications for municipalities drafting their own budgets. Shally Pittman reports.
The legislature's budget committee met again Friday night, over 12 hours after their planned 10 a.m. start. They skipped debates on major funding items, but did approve budgets for several state agencies.
With that, we are adjourned.
The meeting lasted just over an hour and followed a familiar pattern. Democrats proposed motions, Republicans voted them down, and then passed their own plans on party lines. But not without criticism. Here's Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee.
There is something wrong with the decisions that we are making in this body, and we aren't saving taxpayers' money the way that we like to claim that we are.
Governor Evers says he won't sign a budget that doesn't include funding for the state's child care program. Another major item, funding for the universities of Wisconsin, was pulled from the agenda. The committee also resolved a longstanding dispute by releasing $10 million to the Department of Public Instruction for early literacy coaching.
We want to help kids read, and we want to give schools the tools to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's taken this legislature a tremendous amount of time to allocate the funds for that.
Democratic Rep. Tip McGuire from Kenosha. The money had been held up by a legal fight over the governor's veto powers. Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee.
The reason for the delay was an unconstitutional veto by the governor, ruled unanimous, unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so we're glad that justice has been done, and we're here now with the proper accounts and able to do these.
If lawmakers hadn't acted on that funding by tonight, the funds would have lapsed back into the state's $4 billion surplus. For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
The Bucks making moves in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to bring back three of their players, guards Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, and forward Taurean Prince, all three agreeing to two-year deals to stay in Milwaukee, with the second year being a player option. But the Bucks are losing their center, Brook Lopez. He'll sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. Lopez became a team leader during his 7 years with the Bucks.
Whatever happens, you know, whatever I do, just having a positive influence on the game. You know, that was my main thought. Having fun, but having a positive influence on the game, a positive impact.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Mets tonight in New York. The Crew coming off that 4-3 loss Sunday to the Rockies in 11 innings.
Extras are extras, but I mean, everyone in here was fired up to get a chance to walk it off, you know, so I don't think it's really hard necessarily to get back in the dugout and try to rally guys up because everyone's still chomping at the bit.
That's the Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the interview system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to monitor the budget process both in D.C. and Madison. And what's worse for the holidays, ketchup or mustard? Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning. We made it to July. July 1st, 2025. Parker Olson standing by in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot is off today. Coming up this hour, we will talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. And it was not a great week last week for farmers. Only, what, 2.5, 3.5 days of field work because of all the rain. But in other news related to food and farming, you know, there is still this trade war that President Trump has, you know, waged on other nations. These are far from done deals. We just haven't heard much about them lately. But apparently the Trump administration has just figured out that maybe these across-the-board tariffs aren't working, because the whole point was to bring things back to America, you know, bring certain crops back, bring manufacturing back, things like that. There are certain things you can't grow in this country that we get elsewhere. And so we'll talk about that brilliant revelation on the behalf of Trump's ag secretary. Coming up. Let's see. No Brittany here, but I'm sure we've got notes from Rob and Tigerton. Sure enough, they're on YouTube. Good morning from Tigerton. Lots of sun and 63 degrees. Another busy day mowing lawns in the Tigerton area, getting plenty of sun too. I've got to go see the eye doctor July 16th in Wittenberg. He mows lawn and plows snow at the Tigerton post office. And in the winter, he always thinks of the postal workers, because we mentioned today is National Postal Workers Day. He said, yesterday I heard Debbie Harry's song "The Tide Is High" from 1980 on the radio, and you have to have Kristen Lyerly singing that song sometime. All right, we will do that. Debbie Harry turns 80 years old today. We were talking in the last hour about the newly announced budget deal for the state budget that Governor Evers and legislative Republicans reached yesterday. We went through some of the details. Cassandra writes on YouTube, "This is better than I was expecting. I never thought they'd give money to childcare." And that's true. There will be some significant funding to childcare, not exactly what the governor wants. But we've reached out to Corrine Hendrickson from New Glarus, who's been a leading advocate for childcare support in the state budget, and she is going to join us in just over 10 minutes to give us her reaction to the child care portion of the budget, and also tell us what questions remain to be answered. I mean, there are still other details that have to be announced on this state budget plan. And we'll review those again in our next hour with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, who will join us at about 8:30 to talk about what's going on there. We'll talk a little bit more about the state budget deal in just a moment, but first I wanted to remind you that you can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. And, of course, you can follow us on our website as well. One of the website feature articles this week is about swimming in the summertime and some common Wisconsin lake hazards. After all, with temps that were pushing 90 recently and will be again this week, a trip to the lake might sound like the perfect time to cool off, but you'll find in our article some advice on protecting kids from drowning hazards, avoiding E. coli contaminated waters, lower the chance of parasites causing swimmer's itch, and how to spot that blue-green algae, which can be harmful to humans and especially to pets. Search for lake hazards on our website to find the article. And make sure to check out the link at the bottom of the article to one of our top weekend road trip stories, 7 great places to see waterfalls around Wisconsin. Parker, you ever, in all your swimming and beach time, ever get swimmer's itch?
I am not much of a swimmer at all, Pat, actually. So, okay, no. Okay. Can't say I've had the itch.
I haven't. I had it like 2 times as a kid, maybe at ages, 9 and 10 or something like that. And I don't even know what they do it for it these days, but back then, it was something called, was it calamine lotion? Something like that. And you had to pour some of that into a bath and you had to just lay in there for the longest time. And even then, it still didn't work. You were just itching and scratching like crazy. And I'm surprised, they keep yelling at you, don't itch. They should put like the cone of shame, on your hands.
Yeah.
To stop you from doing that. Anyway, so to avoid swimmer's itch, read that article and some tips about making sure that you are swimming safely. Also on our website, 10 Wisconsin homes that have been featured on HGTV. So take a look at that. So we went through some of the details of the state budget in our last hour, and I realized, hold on, back to the comment section here. Alicia, I got swimmer's itch from a hotel pool. I got one reaction to that, Alicia. Ew. Because to get swimmer's itch from a hotel pool tells me they didn't do a good job of cleaning that pool, and I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, back to the state budget deal. Again, the governor announced not just the increase in funding for the UW system and for child care, but I neglected to give details on what the governor says is a nearly $1.4 billion increase in spendable revenue for K-12 schools across the state. And that word spendable is very important because in the last budget and prior to that, Republicans had this great little budget trick that they would play. They would say, we are giving, I'll just grab a number here, $1 billion, whoop, knocked my microphone. We're giving $1 billion to schools. Well, they weren't really. They were giving $1 billion that was supposed to go to schools, but schools have these state-imposed revenue limits. They can't exceed the limits. So the money comes into schools on paper and goes right back out to schools to property tax relief. And that's fine. Just call it property tax relief. But, don't say, oh, yeah, we gave all this money to schools when it was not spendable money for the schools. This does have a $1.4 billion increase in spendable revenue. It's an increase in what's called categorical aid. Oh, Pat, what's categorical aid? Okay, there's base state aid that everybody gets, and then there's categories of additional aid for things like special education, transportation, libraries, things like that. All vary from school district to school district, but those categorical aids are just another form of state support for our local schools. And the net increase in all those categorical aids, according to the governor, is 5 times larger than the increase in the last budget. And it is a 60% increase above what Republicans on the Budget Committee had previously approved. There is also this big increase in special education reimbursement. Local school districts will receive 42% reimbursement in the first year, 45% reimbursement in the second year of the budget for their special education costs. It is the highest reimbursement rate in 30 years. And a larger increase for special education than the last 3 state budgets combined. There's also $2 million in operations for the Department of Public Instruction after Republican lawmakers had previously voted to cut 10% of the agency's operating costs through the state budget process. So there's a lot there for K-12. There's a lot more for the UW system. And again, bear in mind, Republicans wanted to cut funding for the UW system, even with a $4 billion surplus, because they wanted to punish universities for being woke. And remember, what's our definition of woke on this morning program? Woke means, you know, don't be a bigot. Don't be a racist. Don't be a misogynist. Don't be a jerk. That's the definition of woke. I don't know why people seem to be against that, but that's all it is, folks, bottom line. Anyway, there will be an increase to the UW system, an increase of $256 million over the next 2 years. That includes over $100 million to help stabilize the system after recent campus closures and layoffs and program cuts and consolidations, in order to ensure that UW campuses remain hubs for the workforce and for the local economies all across the state. There will be $54 million to retain and recruit faculty and staff in high-demand fields to make sure that the UW stays competitive and a world-class institution. There will be $94 million to increase wages for UW system workers, including faculty and staff. Recall how in the last budget cycle, Republicans held pay raises hostage until diversity, equity, and inclusion positions could be eliminated or repurposed, I guess you'd say. There's $7 million there to provide 24/7 virtual telehealth mental health services to nearly all students across UW system campuses. So that's $7 million for mental health care for UW, and I believe it was $30 million for mental health initiatives at K-12, is again a recognition that mental health care for our kids overall, you know, including as they're going to college, is in dire need. For whatever reason you want to lay out there, our students and our children are in need of services that they're currently not getting in the classroom or getting at home. And so it's nice to see that is being recognized and supported. And then there's all kinds of capital projects in here for the UW system. A lot of this is normally handled by the State Building Commission. But I think Republicans and the governor said, well, as long as we're at the negotiating table, let's bang some of these things out. And that would include replacing an addition at Polk Learning Commons at UW-Oshkosh, finished construction of the Prairie Springs Science Center at UW-La Crosse, and demolish Crawley Hall, which lacks fire suppression. There will be money to renovate the Health Sciences and Northwest Quadrant Complex at UW-Milwaukee to transform former hospital buildings into a health sciences hub. They will renovate and put a new addition on DeJope Residence Hall at UW-Madison. There will be a renovation and building an addition to Century Hall at UW-Stevens Point. Renovations at UW-Milwaukee's Sandberg Hall East Tower. A new addition at the UW-Stout Recreation Complex. A dining hall renovation at UW-Madison, a demolition and relocation of a humanities building at UW-Madison, and also money for UW-Madison's Science Hall, which was originally built in 1887 and will undergo a renovation to restore the building's historic character, it says, while improving accessibility, addressing maintenance issues, and adding an atrium. These are investments in our education. These are the things that are going to keep people here, keep our best and brightest here. Far too many people decide to go to college somewhere else, and then they settle down somewhere else, and we lose them. If we don't make investments like that, we continue to lose them. The amount of people inflow coming in, people like me, who came from Minnesota, went to UW-Eau Claire, married a cute farmer's daughter from Manitowoc, and settled here, that number's a lot lower. We need to be improving that number, but you're not going to do it if you're punishing education and higher education in the state. So, again, you have to tip your cap to Governor Tony Evers for dragging some Republicans kicking and screaming toward the realization that we're paying these tax dollars. Let's make the investments that are going to grow the economy, and you do that by attracting our young people, attracting our best and brightest, attracting people from other states, and not continually trying to drive them away. All right, we've got two guests to squeeze in our next segment. There, some of you will get a local update. Others are going to visit quickly with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander and Corrine Hendrickson to talk about child care counts and support for it in the next state budget. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Front seat, just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. It is the first day of July of 2025. The time is 7:23, a beautiful start here in North Central Wisconsin. From our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, currently sunny skies and 64 degrees. This is the WXCO Morning Report during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Beautiful start here. And one thing I noticed real fast here is, because I know that you probably noticed as well, I think it's the first time in a number of months that one way or another, the roads are completely opened. Not completely open, but open to a certain extent right in front of us. Because we here on Washington Street for a number of months, they have been moving down the line here in terms of doing the construction, part of the major downtown construction project. But right here in front of our studio, between 3rd and 4th Street, it's been closed for quite a while, but they have one lane that's now open. So so we're moving forward as we continue into the summer. Exactly right.
Yes, it is.
How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. It's a beautiful day. Hey, and first day of July like you said.
Yep, we're midway.
It's crazy how we're just flying through the summer months.
Midway through the year 2025. Hey, we've been hearing a lot from Pat Kreitlow this morning on the budget deal in the state of Wisconsin. The Assembly and Senate Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have come to an understanding for the new state budget. Today, July the 1st, okay, is actually the start of the new two-year budget cycle. All and right. There's been a lot that you have to digest, and I've been trying to digest it along with everybody else that has been tuned in with Pat and been looking at some of the press releases that have been put out as well. And just a couple of thoughts here. Number one, I do think there appears to be a lot that is positive about this budget deal in terms of investments, in terms of what we had heard that the Republicans had wanted to cut funding to the universities of Wisconsin system. But in fact, there's going to be an increase. I'm not going to start celebrating and having a parade because it's roughly a third to a quarter of the amount that the university's Board of Regents had requested of the state legislature. So while yes, it is, and I would call it a somewhat significant increase, that is something to be very happy about. It does take special education funding for the Wisconsin public schools in the right direction. It has made a significant increase, moving up to 42% in year one, up to 45% in year two. It's been a very important issue discussed by education advocates, with many saying a significant investment would help alleviate some of the financial stress that schools have faced and ease districts' reliance on property taxes. So that was a positive as well. Child care funding, obviously, it's been also one of the major issues that's been discussed. There has been, again, a deal. The child care counts program will be phased out. That is not good news, but the state will invest $110 million to support directly monthly payments and monthly per child investments to child care facilities for a bridge program. But that also means that this question is going to continue to be, I think, at the forefront of discussions in the next cycle and as we move into the future, because this is an issue that is not going away. But I wanted to mention the tax aspect. And obviously, with Republicans still with significant majorities in both the Senate and the State Assembly, that a deal would have to be made. It doesn't mean that you have to be happy with it. $1.3 billion in tax cuts. And again, all in all, considering what it could have been if there had been a Republican governor, it's not as bad as it could have been. But that doesn't mean it's very good. True. But it doesn't mean it's good, because basically, a big part of the tax cut is going to affect 1.6 million Wisconsin taxpayers, part of a big grouping of within the brackets. That's a lot and of people. But the average cut is $180. And when you look at more than $1 billion in tax cuts, $1.3 billion, yes, it's nice to say, oh, $180 average. That means those at the higher end of this tax cut bracket, they're going to get a bigger chunk. Those of us at the lower part of it will not see $180.
No.
And in the end, I truly believe, and again, this comes down to political philosophy, that this money would have gone a lot further. That's what the point is of this surplus, and generally with budget priorities. What way will go the furthest in terms of aiding the average person in Wisconsin's life? And I don't think this average $180 tax cut, and maybe whatever it is, $90 for those at the lower end, maybe lower than that, or the massive amounts that will be further at the top of that bracket. Yes, a deal has to be made. And I don't, I do not hold it against the governor that all this money is going into tax cuts, because that's the priorities. That was the number one priority for Republicans. But it doesn't make it a good part of the budget.
No.
That's my point of view, because, you know, you'll spend that a couple of times filling up your gas tank or going to the store. I mean, you could do a lot better by giving it to programs that help great amounts of people in the state of Wisconsin.
For me, I think $180 would be 2 weeks of groceries.
There you go. We're going to talk more about this as we continue here this morning. I know Pat's going to be talking more about it as well this morning. And we're glad you could be with us here on this Tuesday morning. And a beautiful start. It's one of those mornings here during the summer that's, you know, when it's 20 below coming up in the winter, remember this kind of morning because this is a great morning here in the middle of summer.
Makes you feel good.
Exactly. Ian and I will be back at 7:52, but back to Pat Kreitlow coming up after this information update on WXCO.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Consumers' concerns over food ingredients, things like red dye, driving another market here in Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. The Food Finance Institute's taking a closer look at what can be done within our borders to supply food businesses with natural products that provide the same flavors and the same colors. It's the job of Jamie Valenti Jordan, the food brand program manager with the Food Finance Institute.
Naturally Wisconsin is part of a larger organization called Naturally Network. Naturally Network is a kind of an expression of this need to partner together in order to support the natural products industry, most commonly in the food industry, honestly. And so what Naturally Wisconsin is intended to be is an opportunity for us to bring all of the resources that are here to support both our farmers and our entire supply chain through the natural products ecosystem to help us to be better partners, better business partners.
Jamie Valenti Jordan is the executive director of Naturally Wisconsin. He said ultimately their goal is to make Wisconsin the best place to launch and scale business in the natural sector. You can find out more about their efforts at naturallywisconsin.org.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And speaking of local food, Wisconsin Farmers Union expressing their displeasure that the Joint Finance Committee has removed funding for the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. This program is something that's currently being funded by federal dollars that will be exhausted by the end of August. According to Wisconsin Farmers Union, they say that that program is a win-win for farmers, food access organizations, and communities. More at MidwestFarmReport.com on that story and others. I'm Pam Yonke.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life.
I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
On the next show, what happens if 20 million people lose their health insurance? Kristen Krall from Fair Share America joins Maggie to talk about the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway bus tour.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have State Representative Angela Stroud on Republicans supporting lead water line removal in Superior if they can stick taxpayers with the bill instead of a private utility. We'll also have our climate check with Melissa Baldoff. You're going to love this one. I think Hans should come back for this one. Solar panels in farm fields. Oh, you heard us talk about this with John and Gordy yesterday. Solar panels in farm fields on electric powered tractors so that the cows can stay under the shade of the panel as it slowly rotates through the field where they're grazing. That's in Climate Check tomorrow with Melissa Baldoff. We will also have our weekly visits with our civic media friends Earl Ingram in Southeast Wisconsin, James Kelly in Northwest Wisconsin, Jimmy Cuska in Southwest Wisconsin, and of course Parker and I will have Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids with the latest on her
Pigeon Quest.
I just want to see if Parker was standing by with the Pigeon Quest button, and he was.
I've always got Pigeon Quest ready.
That's so good. Dan Hagen joins us from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Hans Breitenmoser, Lincoln County dairy farmer from the Merrill area. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing great.
All right.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Hans, morning. How about you? I know the official crop report said there was 3.5 days of field work available last week because of the rain. Obviously a lot less in some parts. How are things up by you?
Well, pretty wet. Now we've had a couple of dry days here, and we're actually going to start chopping our second crop this morning here in the next few hours. So
yeah, the second crop got chopped here in the field across the street from me yesterday, and I've already marveled previously at, you know, just how big and how fast, you know, this equipment is getting. I swear that thing was moving at least 30, maybe 35 miles an hour down the field. And I, you know, you think of baling hay and you think of just very slowly working your way down, chopping, and not this stuff. Boy, we got like something out of Transformers working the fields out here. And Dan, you're following stories up in Rhinelander, not the least of which are some in Hans's Lincoln County. And, you know, there's a nursing home there we've talked about that may or may not be for sale, but then in Taylor County, not too far away, there's also some kind of drilling project going on over there. What's the latest out of Taylor County?
Yeah, that's right. So Greenlight Metals is this Canadian company, and they are on the Toronto Stock Exchange. They have a subsidiary based in Wisconsin, and they have started drilling in Taylor County at what's called the Bend Deposit. That's near Medford. And there is a lot of gold and copper at that deposit. The issue that is, however, it's using like non-ferrous metallic mining. And more or less, this releases a ton of sulfuric acid. So there's a reason why there is a moratorium on this kind of mining for a long time. That moratorium has been lifted. So this kind of exploratory drilling is the first step toward opening a mine.
Potentially so. And it was a mining moratorium that Tom Tiffany was very instrumental in lifting and exposing this area to all of those harms from, you know, that exact kind of drilling. And not just creating a mine, but I mean, just the experimental drilling itself has potential to cause harm to the groundwater. So it's why people are concerned even about the test drilling that's going on right there. And Dan, of course, is following that out of Rhinelander. Hans, I know you're following things with the Pinecrest Nursing Home sale. We were talking about the county board maybe putting it up for sale. This is not yet a done deal?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it ain't over till it's over. The county board here in Lincoln County sold the nursing home once before, and then that deal fell through. After the fact, the county board voted again in favor to sell here to a different company more recently, and that vote went through as a simple majority vote. Now, some people are saying that there should have been a two-thirds vote to make that happen, since it happened outside the regular budget process. But the people in Lincoln County are just concerned about losing our nursing home and losing control of our nursing home. When we ran it ourselves, or when we partnered with North Central Healthcare to run the operations there, we at least had some control over it. My argument against selling it, one of them, is that, you know, once it's sold, we simply lose all control. And the company that has purchased it now, you know, they've got about 340 of these facilities all over the United States. And my argument was, look, you know, even if the people who own this company now are, you know, super and you know, they're going to treat residents well and treat employees well and so forth and so on, I said, this is big business. And, it, you know, there's no guarantees. I mean, we could see a different ownership, you know, have the thing bought out by a different company in a couple years from now, and have the wheels really fall off. So it's confusing to me as to why the county board is choosing to try and sell a nursing home that's a five-star facility that's been doing great financially the last couple of years. It's taking care of our residents and keeping the promise that we've you know, had, the deal that we've had for 70 years in Lincoln County, is if you work hard and you do the right thing, we'll have a place for you when you get old.
So I can see why Dan and everybody at Newswatch 12 is following a story like this, Dan. It's got real human impact. Again, that whole notion of, you know, the benevolent corporation that will always be benevolent, or will it be? I'm sure, Dan, you get reaction every time you do a story about this issue.
Yeah, no, certainly. And I just want to ask you one thing, Hans. You know, you said it's doing well financially, but, you know, we keep hearing that it's losing the county $1 million+ every year. So what do you mean by it's doing good financially?
Well, it's been self-sustaining for the last, oh, I don't know, like year and a half, 2 years. When I was on the county board years ago, it was, you know, there was tax levy dollars that needed to keep it afloat. There's no doubt about that. And we partnered with North Central to help, you know, improve efficiencies and so forth. North Central Healthcare is a consortium Lincoln County works with already. And so it seemed like a good fit. And you know, things turned around. It took a little while, but things turned around. But what I find interesting too, Dan, is that, you know, when through a survey that was done in Lincoln County, when people were asked, would you be willing to help support the nursing home if need be, the resounding answer was yes. So people in Lincoln County are looking at their nursing home and saying, yeah, even if it costs us a couple bucks, we're willing to keep this thing afloat, because we see it as important. And we understand that, you know, if we no longer have control over it, we might not have a nursing home at all. And what does that mean for us in, you know, in terms of, you know, when your elderly parents or what have you have to go to a nursing home, do you want to place them 2 hours from your house? You know, what does that look like? We've got an ideal situation here, but what we also have, I think, is the majority of county board supervisors who came into their role as county board supervisors with sort of this hell-bent philosophical notion that if government shouldn't be involved in anything. And they've been unwilling to look past that and look at the facts here on the ground with our particular situation and see that we've got something special here that we should be hanging on to. And in doing so, you know, we create the economy that goes along with it. You know, we can, you know, there's 200 people roughly that work at Pinecrest Nursing Home. If Mega Corporation Incorporated decides that, you know, these dots on their little balance sheets and spreadsheets aren't working out very well from their perch on Wall Street, and they say, yeah, it's time to pull the pin and Merrill, 200 people lose their jobs and we don't have anything to say about it. To me, it's just poor management.
And Pat, you can cut me off if you'd like, but I think the argument from the other side, I heard from Ken Wickham, a county board chair, is, you know, this has been an issue for a long time. A lot of these county board members were up for re-election. They got re-elected, even though their stance on Pinecrest was clear. So what would you make of that argument that they were elected, they can make decisions for the people?
Well, I mean, I agree with that to a point. And I'm not, you know, having been on the county board for 10 years, I don't think that, the, you know, the, the board should rush to referendum for every 98 cent detail. Yes, you have to put your big boy pants on and make some decisions for your constituents. But one of the things with Pinecrest is it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal in our community. And so many people asked so often, just put it to a referendum, you know, so we can get the input from, you know, from the people that are impacted from it. And the board refused to take it to a referendum. I think if they would have gone to a referendum, they would have found out that, you know, people want this thing and they're willing to support it. And they want to keep it alive. So I agree with what Ken said. Yes, there was an election. But there's also plenty of evidence to suggest that this is something that people wanted more input on.
You often hear that when it appears that the elected officials, you know, are acting more on their own ideological behalf than on, you know, the will of the majority of their constituents. But again, you know, they're the ones that have to make the decision whether to have that referendum or not. So obviously Dan's got a lot to follow, and I'm glad you were here to ask some questions of Hans about that. Dan, here's a question or a comment for you on the text line from Jim in Brookfield. Hey, Dan, sounds like a true case of Berkey fever to be roller skiing in July. Good luck reaching the magic number of 20 Berkeys for the purple bib. Again, from Jim in Northfield, because Dan mentioned he's going to go roller skiing after this segment.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. I will tell you, my father is a birch legger, as it's called. That means 20 Berkeys. He's done about 27. I will be on my 11th or 12th. And, you know, you gotta keep staying active. I just was notified I got dropped a wave. I've been in wave two for a year, but my time was too slow, so I got bumped down to wave three. The goal is to get back up, so putting in the work now.
That's why you lift those weights now. You know, got to be ready for it.
That's right.
Dan Hagen, you can follow what he's doing over at Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. The man's got to get his roller skis on. Thanks for sticking around a little bit longer, Dan. We appreciate it.
Of course. Good to see you, Pat. Good to see you, Hans.
All right. Take care now.
Hans,
I wanted to take a moment with you to talk about the president's trade war, which is still ongoing, even though we don't talk about it quite so much. But specifically this, from the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, has told the Wall Street Journal the Trump administration may consider granting tariff exemptions for goods that are difficult to produce domestically in the United States, like cocoa beans or coffee. Currently, these products are subject to comprehensive tariffs, which have led Democrats to criticize Republicans for driving up consumer costs. In an interview, Rollins says, "Everything is still under discussion at this stage. I believe that for certain products we cannot produce domestically, it's important to fully understand the situation and develop a comprehensive strategy that supports all of these goals." Do you feel congratulations are in place and in order for the Trump White House for discovering the 1920s era song, "Yes, We Have No Bananas"? That we cannot grow bananas or cocoa beans or coffee here in the U.S., so why put on a tariff designed to bring products back here when they were never here in the first place? I think it's great that it only took them 5.5 months to figure this out.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just gives me an abundance of hope, Pat, because if 5.5 months is all that took, then I can hardly wait to see what the next 5.5 months will bring.
Again, it was supposed to be 90 deals in 90 days with 90 nations out there.
I think what we've seen is 90 changes of minds and 90 flips and flops and 5 months of chaos, leaving our trade partners confused, leaving our farmers confused, leaving the Farm Service Agency confused, leaving the markets confused.
Yep. And again, like we had one farmer from Chippewa County saying, you know, is it America first or America alone? And it's tough to tell sometimes. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you for your time as well. Get out in that field. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Ben.
All right. We'll continue things on here with a local update for some of you. Others will be back here. And then in our next hour, Dan Schaefer and Chad Holmes, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Mun Wausau Festival is back July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouthwatering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest Mun festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rock Fest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The time is 7:52. Currently, mostly sunny skies. In fact, sunny skies in downtown Wausau. 65 degrees at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes, WXCO Morning Report, during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Quick note that coming up this evening, we have softball with the Wausau Post 10 American Legion team. The Patriots, Wausau Post 10 American Legion Baseball. We bring you selected games here this summer on 98.9 WXCO. In fact, we will have games both today and tomorrow. Tonight, Post 10 will play host to Wittenberg Burnhamwood. We'll be on the air live from the Sunnyvale Softball Complex starting at 6:20 for the pregame show and 6:30 for the first pitch. And then tomorrow, Wausau Post 10 will take on Marathon. I will be heading to Marathon. Not a long road trip, but Post 10 against Marathon tomorrow starting at 6:20 as well. Right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. One more thing I wanted to mention about the budget deal that was announced this morning between Governor Tony Evers and the Republicans in the state legislature talked about the increased funding for things like special education and also child care and the universities of Wisconsin, which are good. It's good based on what some of the rumbles were from the GOP that the governor was able to get into the negotiating room and be able to get some positive reinforcement in terms of dollars and cents. Absolutely. For some of those important issues. And mentioned as well the $1.3 billion in tax cuts that will be part of the deal as well, which was obviously the number one priority for the Republicans. And in order to get a deal, you had to have some sort of significant tax cuts in this budget. The thing that I wanted to point out that basically concerns me as well with this tax cut, I mentioned in the last segment that I feel as though an average $180 tax cut was not as good of use of money than to invest it in different programs. I think that it's been shown that certain investment actually leads to a bigger get back for state and federal monies than just straight tax cuts. I think that that's been proven in the past in terms of the most effective use of some of this money. But the thing that also concerns me that should we in the next couple of years have an economic downturn or basically issues with the next state budget. Maybe instead of having a major surplus, economic conditions change and we have a shortfall. The thing that concerns me and the thing that I'm fairly certain of that will not happen is when you get back to the table, the Republicans are not going to say, well, the first thing we should do to close this gap is to eliminate that tax cut.
No.
The first thing they're going to do is say, hey, we need to cut back on childcare, or we have to cut back on K-12 funding, or we have to cut back on the universities of Wisconsin. Because the way that they work it, and you see this all the time, we've seen this in the discussion of the Donald Trump tax cut from back in his first term. During the last campaign, they were saying, whoa, if you don't re-elect Donald Trump, who will protect that tax cut, it'll be the biggest tax increase in the history of our country. Because if you go back to the original tax levels that you had maybe a couple of years ago, it's not where you go back to that level. It's a tax increase. Because after the tax cut, if you go back to the original levels of taxing, it's then all of a sudden this massive tax increase. So we have this constant cycle of Republicans cutting taxes and then never reevaluating whether or not it works or not. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be another that's, for argument's sake, say in 2026, that the state of Wisconsin elects a Republican as the governor. Well, you know what the number one priority will be in the next budget cycle in 2027.
Tax cuts.
Tax cuts. And even if there are economic issues, they're not going to say, well, you know, that tax cut of 2025 blew up a hole in the state budget, so maybe we should close that. No, they will close that budget hole with cuts to important programs. That's the thing that concerns me about this. But I don't have an argument that the governor has made a deal like this, because when you are facing a Republican majority in the state assembly and the state senate, you're going to have to give a little to get a little. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's negotiation. You're not always going to get everything you want.
But at least they're having a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I mean, whenever there's a compromise, you're not going to be happy about what the ultimate comes out of it. One thing that I will note as well, though, during these discussions right now in Washington concerning the big, beautiful bill, I'm not as optimistic that we're going to get something that is, well, we got some bad stuff, but we also get some good stuff. No, I think this is going to be a lot of bad stuff, because unlike Wisconsin, where you have a Democratic governor at least holding the line to the worst impulses of the Republican state legislature, in Washington right now, you have a Republican president, a Republican House of Representatives, and a Republican Senate. And so it's basically an argument between Republicans on just how bad things are going to be, and that's not a great place to be right now.
No, it is not.
So I guess we can say that the aspect here in Wisconsin, at least we do have a budget deal, and that process will continue as we get into the new fiscal year. But you can still hold your breath a bit when it comes to what is going on in Washington, D.C., as the United States Senate is still debating some amendments to the what Donald Trump calls the big, beautiful bill.
I'm betting he's the one that came up with that name because I can't imagine anybody else would call it that.
I think you're exactly right on that account. The time is 7:59. Hey, coming up, we have an information update. We'll get the latest on what's going on in Washington and around the world, plus state and local news, weather, sports, entertainment. And then coming up at 8:06, back to Pat Kreitlow. He'll be talking about the weather with Brittany Merlot, and he'll be talking to me as well. So it's my Tuesday morning visit with Pat Kreitlow coming up, and then Ian and myself will be back at 8:22. Beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. 65 degrees under sunny skies. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Families of four murdered Idaho college students say accused killer Brian Koberger is ready to plead guilty. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
In a letter sent to those victims' families, Koberger accepted a plea deal that would keep him in prison for the rest of his life without the possibility of an appeal or parole.
Officials in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say Wes Rowley had been living in his car when he set a brush fire to lure firefighters to Canfield Mountain, where he shot and killed two battalion chiefs, his former roommate, T.J. Franks.
I can't believe what he did. I mean, that is an absolutely disgusting thing to do.
Senators held an all-night voterama on amendments to President Trump's massive budget bill, and they're still at it. Republican Lindsey Graham.
Stick with the bill we wrote. You're going to be happy to reduce the deficit and make sure people's taxes don't go up.
Elon Musk is vowing to fund primary challenges to GOP lawmakers who do vote to pass it. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.